We shall turn to the Word of God in the book of Psalms, Psalm 87. We will read from verse 4. Psalm 87. Psalm 87 from verse 4. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia, this man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth of the people that this man was born there, Selah. So on. And verse 5 especially this evening. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. God's foundation is in the holy mountains. The church, which is founded by God, is set apart for himself. And God loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. He manifests himself in the courts of his own house. He reveals himself in the public means of grace, in the solemn assembly where his people are gathered together to worship him. And glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah. And among the glorious things that are spoken of the church is that through the church the nations will be brought to Christ. The Lord told his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to all the nations of the earth, and of all the nations of the earth they were to make disciples. And God will acknowledge these. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. These are among the ones who know the Lord. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia, this man was born there. Born where? Where are these nations born? Where do they come into being? They come into being, they are born in Zion. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The nations are born in Zion. The individuals that make up the nations are born in Zion. Zion is the spiritual birthplace of the nations. The church is the instrument of the conversion of disciples. Preaching the gospel, that is the instrument that God uses for the bringing or gathering of his people to himself. God has appointed the ordinance of preaching. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And this is the doing of the Lord. The Lord himself, the highest himself, shall establish her. The Lord will gather the nations to himself. He will do it. He will establish Zion. He will establish his church. The highest himself shall establish her. And as we look at this verse tonight, with the Lord's help, we want to consider three things. First, the new birth. Of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. And the word born, we read, is in the previous verse. And again, in verse 6, the Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there, Selah. So it is necessary for us at this time then to consider the new birth. And secondly, the establishing of the church. The Lord will establish his church through sinners being born again, sinners being brought to Christ by the preaching of the gospel and the Holy Spirit accompanying the word preached and enlightening sinners and drawing them to Christ. So the establishing of the church, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. And then in the third place, we will consider the highest himself. First, the new birth, then the establishing of the church, and thirdly, the highest himself. He is to have the glory in the establishing of his church. First of all, the new birth. And of Zion it shall be said, and remember, this is what is being said here in verse 5, it is being spoken of Zion. It is being said in regard to Zion. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. So the church will be established by sinners coming to Christ, and coming to Christ by means of the preaching of Christ. The ministers of the church are sent forth to preach the gospel, and it is through the instrumentality of the ministry of the church that sinners are born again. The Holy Spirit always uses the word. In the case of adults, the word is always the instrument of conversion, of their new birth. Well, what is the new birth? Well, new birth, regeneration, is the implantation of spiritual life in the soul so that the ruling disposition is changed and created holy, and the understanding and will immediately and simultaneously exercise new perception and new desires. That is, the soul sees Christ and goes out to him. Previous to the new birth, the soul is dead in sin. The sinner before regeneration is dead in trespasses and sins. He has no spiritual ability. The person may be very active in life, but as far as a spiritual power is concerned, there is no spiritual power. They are dead spiritually. There's no desire for Christ. There is no desire to obey the law of God from the heart. There is no desire to glorify God and enjoy him. The sinner who is dead in sin sees no beauty in Christ that he should be desired. They are walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So this is true of everyone by nature. There is a point, especially in the case of adults, in which they pass from death unto life. Now it's true that the Lord may send his spirit to regenerate an infant, even from the womb. But in the case of adults, there is a point for every one of them who of God's elect in which he plants spiritual life in their souls, and they then at that moment exercise faith in Christ. So the light shines in their hearts. God that commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. At the appointed time, God gives saving illumination. The Holy Spirit enlightens the mind in the knowledge of Christ. And for the first time, the soul perceives the glory of Christ, and the heart immediately, simultaneously, goes out to Christ. And that, of course, takes place in effectual calling. Effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, and renewing our wills, he doth persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ freely offered to us in the gospel. In the new birth, God implants spiritual life, that is a holy principle or disposition implanted in the soul, so that the ruling power is no longer sin. Sin is not the leading influence in the person's life. What is now the reigning, governing, prevailing power is holiness. And so that is why in regeneration there is a washing. The washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus speaks of, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. In regeneration, there is a washing, there is a cleansing, there is a purifying, and holiness is implanted in the soul, and that's why there are holy desires. There's desires after the beauty of holiness, desires after the holy Savior, and that's why there is a new holy hatred of sin, and sin is bitter to the soul. And the law is desirable. Paul says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man, even though he sees at the same time that there is sin still dwelling in him. And therefore, there is a constant war between the principle of sin and the principle of holiness, which is called in the Bible the old man and the new man. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Sin is called a law. It's a principle. There is something of a regularity and force and predictability about sin. It's a law. It's a principle. It's a disposition that cannot change. Sin cannot change. It must be crucified. It must be mortified and destroyed. And that's why there's a constant war between the old man and the new man. But the new man gets the upper hand, and it will prevail. It is the prevailing, overall prevailing, ruling force in the believer's life. Saul's kingdom weakens. David's kingdom advances and strengthens. And so God promises that the path of the just is as the shining light, which shineth more and more into the perfect day, and he will cause his people to grow. And yes, they sometimes feel that they're getting worse, but if it was true in every case of believer that they were always getting worse, then that would contradict the scriptures. Though they're feeling they're getting worse, they're not getting worse, they're getting more light. They're growing in dependence upon God. They're hating sin more and more. They're earnestly longing for grace and holiness and conformity to Christ. This is the overall gradual process of sanctification in the believer's life. And of course, what we've been describing just now is the evidence of the new birth. This desire to grow in grace argues that you have grace, as well as seeing the preciousness of Christ, having a sense of the sweetness of the Word of God, and a desire to worship God and the beauties of holiness. All of these are evidences of being born again. Being born again. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. Well, have you been born again? Remember, in the new birth, the eyes are open, that is, the understanding is enlightened, and immediately the will or the heart goes out to what is perceived to be lovely, and that is Christ. And that's how we know that we know him. If we see the glory of Christ and our hearts go out to him, to know the Lord is to love him and to serve him. There's a desire and endeavor to take the yoke of Christ and follow him. And such are disciples indeed. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And in this way, the Lord establishes his church. When sinners are born again, the church is being built up. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the Highest himself shall establish her. So when the nations are gathered into the church, and the church is thus enlarged by the accession of the Gentiles, the nations coming into the church is permanently established and secured. And that is how the Lord builds up his church. This and that man was born in her, and the Highest himself shall establish her. So in the previous verse, God makes mention of specific nations: Rahab, Babylon. Rahab is Egypt, and Philistia and Tyre and Ethiopia. These are sample nations of the Gentiles. They represent all the nations of the earth, and Christ has a claim upon all of them. Go ye therefore make disciples of all nations, not just some of them. And all the kingdoms of the world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And what is said of the nations is said also of individuals. This and that man was born in her. And the cause of Christ is advancing by sinners being born again. This and that man was born in her. Literally, it is man and man. Man and man born in her. Which tells us that one person after another, individual after individual, as individuals, they are born in Zion, and they come to Christ. And in this way, Zion is increasing in number. The church is enlarging. The church is being established. And isn't this the case when there is literal birth? When people get married and they have children in the church is enlarging. And isn't that one reason why marriage was ordained? As the Confession of Faith puts it, three reasons: for the mutual help of husband and wife, for the increase of mankind with a legitimate issue, and of the church with an holy seed, and for preventing of uncleanness. So the church increases with a holy seed, and that is the children of believers are holy. As we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. So when one spouse who is a believer is married to another spouse who is not a believer, the unbelieving spouse is sanctified by the believing spouse. That is, set apart. The unbelieving spouse is recognized as a parent of a child that is holy, a child that is set apart for the Lord. Not necessarily born again, but in this outward relationship, being an outward member of the visible church, that child is holy, set apart for the Lord, belongs to Christ. Christ has a claim upon the child, and that is formalized, if we can put it that way. It is recognized in a formal way through baptism. So the Lord increases his church by children being born in the church, and through the ordinance of baptism, the church increases, the number of members of the visible church increases. But of course, more than literal birth and more than visible membership, the Lord establishes his church by adding to it those who are truly born again. And this is how the church is built up, by living stones. And that's what we need to focus upon. Are we living stones in the house of God? The Lord Jesus Christ draws sinners to himself, gathering the stones, turning them from cold, dead stones to warm, living stones, and built upon himself as he himself is the one foundation of the church, or the chief cornerstone, and the church is built up upon Christ himself. The Lord Jesus adds to his church such as should be saved, the Father sending the Spirit and revealing the preciousness of the Savior to souls, as the Lord Jesus said about Peter when Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," and he was saying it from the heart. It was not mere intellectual assent. He said it from his heart. And the Lord Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven," the Father sending and operating through the Holy Spirit to enlighten Peter's mind and show him the loveliness and glory of Christ, the Son of God. So, living stones, and Peter was a living stone. He was built upon Christ, the rock. Jesus said, "Thou art Peter, And upon this rock, speaking of himself, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And this is true of believers. They believe and they feel that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and they desire him. They own Jesus as Lord, and that can only be by the Holy Ghost. You may say the Lord Jesus Christ, he is God. Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You may say that. You may shout to the whole world. But if it's not from your heart, it means very little. But then another person can whisper, Jesus is Lord, and they can say it from the heart, and they mean it, and that is by the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Spirit enlightens the mind and draws the heart to Christ himself, who is the Lord of glory. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. So again, of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. Born in her. What is that saying, friends? It's saying that the church is the instrument of conversion. The church, or the ministry of the church, through her ministers, the servants of God going forth, set apart for the preaching of the gospel, through the ministry of the church, sinners are gathered to Christ. And this is how it was from the very beginning, when the Lord Jesus sent his servants forth, preached the gospel to every creature. With some, there may have been little fruit, preaching to one person, like the Ethiopian eunuch. But then Peter was sent to, that was Philip, and then Peter was sent to the family of Cornelius, and that was the first group of Gentiles coming into the church. Then the great missionary Paul was sent to the Gentiles, to Antioch, Syria, Asia Minor, to Macedonia, of which we read, and then to Rome itself and perhaps beyond. And there was a great catch of fishes spiritually as Peter was in the boat literally and pulled in the net, and it began to break. The ships began to sink. There was such a great catch, and that was symbolic of the great catch of souls, beginning with Pentecost, and then later on from 3,000 to at least 5,000. And later on in Acts chapter 20, or is it 21, we read that myriads were in Jerusalem, myriads of Christians. It says thousands, but the original is myriads, which really means 10,000s. 10,000s of Christians in Jerusalem. So the Lord was establishing his cause. This and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord Jesus, sending his servants to preach the word, sinners hear the word, and they, by the Spirit, are united to Christ, the Holy Spirit working faith in them, as it were, using the mortar of union through faith and love to knit souls to Christ and to one another, one by one, man and man, this and that man, being added to the church, built upon Christ, and united to one another, sinners being born again. This is how the church is established. This is how it is established permanently. The Lord has promised it. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. And God's promise never fails. And how is that? Because he himself establishes the church. He himself secures this reality that the church is established and sinners are born again because he himself does it, which is the third point to consider: the highest himself. And who can this be but Christ? Because he is higher than kings, Psalm 89, verse 27. Also, I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. And we read also that he is higher than the highest. Ecclesiastes 5:8. He is higher than all others that consider themselves high. Christ is the most high God, the possessor of heaven and earth. And that is why he can say, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, because he himself is God. He is the most high, the high and lofty one that inhabited eternity. And he is the great high priest, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. And how wonderful it is that he who is higher than the heavens possesses our nature. He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows what we're like. He knows our frailty. He knows our concerns, our burdens, anxieties. He's not far off in heaven. He's near by his Spirit. And what we read is that the highest himself shall establish her. No one else. It's not apostles and ministers and pastors and teachers. We read the highest himself. None but he. It's not an angel. It's not the Pope. It's no great apostle or minister. It's not any kind of hierarchy, but he who is the highest. He does the work of adding to his church such as should be saved. This and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. So what encouragement there is for the ministers, for the elders, for the deacons, for the Sabbath school teachers, for the parents who may be asking, how can I do this? How can I be useful in bringing children to Christ and be useful in sinners being converted to Christ? The answer is, the highest himself shall establish her. He will do it. And he is with his people. He is with us to help us build. Yes, we must build. We must work. And when Zerubbabel and Joshua and all the people, they began to do work for the Lord, to start again building the temple, it was then they received a comforting message from Haggai, or actually from God through Haggai, and that message was, be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. And this is a very precious portion, Haggai chapter 2, verse 5. According to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my Spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. And isn't that simply, if we could say so, repeated in the New Testament? When the Lord Jesus says, go ye therefore, make disciples of all nations, and so on, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He is with his people by his Spirit. My Spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. You do not need to be afraid, because Christ, who sympathizes with his people, Christ the great high priest, higher than the highest, he himself shall establish her. He is with his people. He will build his church. He will add to them, add to their number, by making sinners born again. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. What will he do? How will he establish his church? He will raise up ministers. He will make them willing to go forth preaching the word. He will help them in their work. He will send his Spirit to accompany the word that is preached. He will send his Spirit into the hearts of sinners to strive with them, to make them pay attention to God's word. And then he will open their hearts, as he did with Lydia. There was Lydia listening to the preaching of Paul at the prayer meeting, and the Lord opened her heart to attend to the things that were spoken of Paul, the things that Paul preached. And what did he preach? He preached Christ. And it is through the Lord opening hearts that sinners embrace Christ. Their eyes are open, their hearts are open, they receive him. And Christ will thus have a numerous offspring, They come from the womb of the morning. Each new generation brings a new and godly seed and will be plentiful and beautiful as the morning dew. Christ will have the dew of his youth, a numerous children, satisfied, seeing of the travail of his soul. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness. From the womb of the morning thou hast the dew of thy youth. What think ye of Christ? How glorious is this Savior! How wonderful is his work! How great is the head of the church, the highest himself! Are you among his children? If you are, then you will be saying, in answer to the question, what think you of Christ? You will say, he is altogether lovely, the chiefest among 10,000. And if you're not sure where you stand, then how you should pray that you would be born again. You must be born again, or else you cannot enter his kingdom. This is how the Lord Jesus builds up his kingdom, through sinners being born again. The visible church is added to by baptism, but the invisible church is increased only through the new birth. You must be born again. Then plead his promises. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Go to him and say, save me or I perish. Take away iniquity. Wash me in the fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness. Purge me, wash me with the waters of spiritual baptism. Let me be among those who are born in Zion spiritually, that it will be said of me, as well as others, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. May the Lord bless his word.